Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
You're listening to a download from the BBC. This is More or Less, the mathematical icing on the cake of life. We make an edition of the programme for BBC Radio 4, but this is a download of a special edition broadcast on the World Service.
Hello, and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're your weekly guide to the numbers in the news and in life, and I'm Tim Harford. This week, which are the world's largest employers? We set the record straight. But first, are you at risk of death by burger? Yes, you are, according to headlines around the world this week.
Red meat increases death.
Red meat death study.
A hot dog a day raises risk of dying.
These headlines were inspired by research at the Harvard Medical School. The Harvard researchers have studied the diets and health of more than 120,000 people over the course of more than 20 years and concluded that red meat is associated with an increased risk of fatal heart disease and terminal cancer. Indeed, they say that over the study period, an extra portion of unprocessed red meat was associated with an overall 13% increased risk of death. An increased risk of death? In the words of one of our listeners,
I'd conservatively place my risk of death at 100%. But does this mean it's actually 113%?
Well, helpfully, we know a professor whose job is to improve the public understanding of risk, David Spiegelhalter of the University of Cambridge. He says the scientist's report itself is pretty technical and difficult to understand, but he offered to translate.
Their findings mean that if there were two men, say, aged 40, and they were really the same, they had the same weight and the same job and the same exercise, but the only difference is that one ate an extra portion of meat every day. So let's say two friends, and one of them every lunchtime had a hamburger and the other didn't. Now, what they found is that the one who likes the meat has a 13% extra risk of dying each year. They're both going to die in the end. One's got this extra annual risk of dying.
But it's not easy to say what this might mean in practice. You might reckon that since those hamburgers increase your annual risk of dying by 13%, they might also cut your life expectancy by about 13%, say from 80 years to 70. Or maybe not. The maths here are hardly obvious. And you can search the research paper in vain because it won't explain this either. But Professor Spiegelhalter has worked it all out so that you don't have to.
The person who eats more meat is expected to live 1 year less than the person who doesn't eat so much meat. The 40-year-old who does eat the meat, you'd expect on average him to live to 79, and the person who doesn't eat so much meat, you expect him to live till 80.
So all those headlines, and it turns out we're talking about whether you're going to live to 79 or to 80. Maybe I'm willing to sacrifice that year in order to enjoy a life full of roast beef and steak sandwiches. But David Spiegelhalter would have me think again.
That 1 year off our life between aged 40 and 80, that's equivalent to losing half an hour a day. So that means that the meat eater, on average, when he's sitting eating his burger, is losing half an hour of life because of that meal, on average. It's equivalent, you know, scaled up over a lifetime, of smoking two cigarettes, for example, is about half an hour off your life. Or being a bit overweight, 5 kilograms overweight, which I am, I'm 5 kilograms overweight.
Which is why the professor had been out running around the park with his dog, Daisy, just before that interview. So perhaps I'll go easy on the bacon sandwiches, particularly since the health risk figures are even higher for bacon and other processed meats. But should we believe the findings of this study? Does eating red meat and processed meat cause cancer and cardiovascular disease and shorten life? Well, no, we can't say there's cause and effect here. All that can be said is that there appears to be a strong correlation between eating this kind of meat and having those health problems. That means we can't rule out the possibility that eating red meat is perfectly healthy in itself, but is correlated with some hidden health risk. The researchers at Harvard couldn't run a randomised controlled trial where half the participants ate burgers for 2 decades and the other half didn't, but they could use statistical techniques as the next best thing. They statistically controlled for a wide number of other potential risk factors, such as alcohol consumption, calorie intake, activity levels, and family history of cancer. The link between red meat and cancer may still be a coincidence if there's a risk factor the researchers didn't think of, but they've certainly tried to rule that out. And these findings chime with those of other studies. But of course, that's one of the reasons people don't want to take notice. We're forever being told that what we do, eat and drink, causes cancer. But Professor Spiegelhalter says we should listen when the message is consistent.
I think you need to distinguish between stories that crop up all the time and basically say the same thing every time, which is what stories like this tend to, which must be a bit monotonous to hear. But, you know, it's not bad to be reminded about things that do seem to be the case. One of the problems is, of course, that what tends to get in the news is when a story comes up that's different from what people have heard before. Now, that's, I think, is really dangerous because people say, oh, well, scientists say one thing and then they say another. They can't make up their minds. Why should I believe anything? And yet, actually, it's just one study. And if one study goes against the mass of evidence that's previously been published, there's good reason to doubt that study. But yet, that's the very study that gets all the publicity from the media.
Professor David Spiegelhalter, who says he's going to eat more fish in the future, but who's also confessed to be harbouring some tasty-looking sausages in his freezer. Now, the National Health Service in England is at the centre of a big political row about its reform. Critics of the NHS say it's bloated. Indeed, it's often said to be the third biggest employer in the world, after the Chinese Red Army and the Indian State Railway.
That's an incredible claim, given how much smaller the UK is than China or India.
Hello, Ruth. Yes, I would hope it's literally incredible because it's not true. We've been sizing up the world's biggest employers and we've found the NHS isn't the world's third largest.
But it is the fifth, with 1.7 million employees, just sneaking ahead of the China National Petroleum Corporation.
Come on, Ruth, give us the rest of the top five.
All right, then. At number four is McDonald's, with 1.9 million employees.
Hang on a moment, I thought most McDonald's restaurants were franchises.
Yes, 8% of them are actually, which means that 1.5 million workers are actually employed by different companies, but they wear the uniform and if push came to shove, I reckon they could probably take on the Chinese army. At number three is the Walmart supermarket chain in the US with 2.1 million staff. At number two is the People's Liberation Army of China with 2.3 million employees. And at number one, it's not the Indian State Railway. With 3.2 million employees, it's the United States Department of Defence.
So in fact, it is almost true. I mean, McDonald's arguably doesn't count, which makes the National Health Service the world's fourth biggest employer. And it is, in fact, bigger than the Indian State Railway.
You're right, Tim, but this isn't just about the NHS. I wanted to know the largest employer in the world, and now I do.
Well, I hate to rain on your hit parade, but you're comparing the army in China with the whole of the US Department of Defence. That's going to include many thousands of civilian administrative staff. You're not comparing like with like.
Well, that's just the way the two countries do their counting, differently. If the Chinese army counted all its civilian support staff, you're right, it would maybe shoot up into first place.
And put me out of my misery, where does the Indian State Railway sit?
Well, it's still a big employer, but it's in eighth place with 1.4 million employees, behind the State Grid Corporation of China and ahead of the Indian Armed Forces, and in 10th place, Honhai Precision Industry.
Honhai Precision Industry, better known as Foxconn, the manufacturers of well-known products like the Apple iPhone and the Sony PlayStation.
Yes, and it became notorious a couple of years ago when news spread that 10 of its workers had committed suicide.
Which is tragic. But while headlines were created, this isn't the shockingly high number it seemed. Suicide rates in China have been put at 15 per 100,000 people. The controversial Foxconn factory employs 400,000 people. 10 suicides per 400,000 people isn't unusually high. I'm afraid it's unusually low. If there's a statistic you'd like us to investigate, please email moreorless@bbc.co.uk, and you can download our podcasts, past and present, via our website, bbcworldservice.com/moreorless. Until next week, from Ruth Alexander and from me, goodbye. More or Less was presented by me, Tim Harford, the Financial Times' undercover economist. The producer was Ruth Alexander, and the editor, Richard Varden.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.